So we're going to take a few moments. We're going to examine the idea of taking time to be holy. Well, obviously, it's a reference to a song, one that we're very familiar with. I will say this, looking around the room, there are men in here who have forgotten more Bible than I'll ever know. There's no way that I'm going to intellectually impress you, so I'm not even going to try. I'm going to try to motivate today. And to just simply, as Wayne was saying, to set our minds in the right perspective to keep going today. The song "Take Time to Be Holy" was written in 1880 by William Dunn Longstaff. He was an Englishman. I want you to take for a minute to imagine that. In 1880, in Europe, the car is just being invented. There's no internet, there's no TV, there's no Netflix. There are no smartphones, there are no computers, The car is again, it's in its infant stage. They don't even really have a telephone. It's being developed at the time. And yet, Longstaff looked around in 1880, and he saw the need to make this statement, take time to be holy. I wonder what he would say today. In a day where we have all of these distractions, and there are some great strengths to them. I am really impressed with what technology does. But we also have to admit that it can be a distraction. And we can lose our focus if we're not careful with all those distractions. I wonder what he would say as he looked around. If he looked and saw in 1880 the hectic qualities of life, today must be just utter chaos for him. The world wants to distract us. It wants to get us to think about anything other than God. It wants us running around doing things that just keep us busy and keep us from serving God. Really, it wants our heart and our soul, our mind and our strength. It wants what we have so that we don't use it and expend it to serve God. I wanted to look at the phrase, take time to be holy, and just sort of break it down for a second. If I went through the entire song and every idea that was in there, we would be here for 2 hours. So we're just going to look at this one little phrase. The first word is take. The word take is significant. It's not receive. There's an active quality to it. When you define it, you look it up, the definition is to seize or to capture, to take possession of, to grasp or to grip. It's an active thing. Far too often, we tend to get passive with our faith. We tend to, hopefully, like it, we're going to learn by osmosis or something. It's going to, you know, somehow magically appear in our brains. But everything that we find in the Bible, God calls us to action. We have to be active in it. I'm reminded of a couple other places where the Bible uses that word take. In Matthew 9:6, he says to paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk. I mean, obviously, it's an active thing. Take it up. Go away with it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28, take up your cross. Again, it's an active thing. Holiness isn't an accident. It's deliberate. It's a choice. I really like one of the last definitions that you find in it. One of the last definitions is to acquire by eminent domain. Of course, we know what that phrase means today. It's when the government comes in and they take private land and they remove it and use it for public purposes. And it's no longer private anymore. And there are a lot of controversies about that, and I don't want to get political or anything, but I like the idea that here we have a life that's being lived selfishly. It's being defined by sin. And God comes and takes it and gives it another purpose. Now, we also recognize He's reclaiming it. Or eminent domains, taking something that had always been private and makes it public. At one point, we lost our holiness with God by introducing sin into our lives, and God's reclaiming it. But I do like that idea. Here is one purpose. He takes it and He uses it for something else. Being holy is, again, it's an act of choice. It is us making the decision to forcefully, to purposefully do those things and hold the attitudes that God wants us to have and to serve Him. The next word is the word time. One of the most valuable things that we have in the material world is time. Once we lose it, we can't get it back. I'm reminded of one of my favorite songs, Jim Croce, Time in a Bottle. Probably many of you know that. Young guys, y'all can look it up. The first line in it is, in the chorus, is, if I could put time in a bottle or save time in a bottle. The word if, he's being rhetorical. He can't do it. But that word there, if, is important. If I could do it, this is what I would do with that time. This is how I would spend it. Now, ironically, he died shortly after recording it. He never saw the success that it had. His time was short. And I'm sure he had other things that he had planned to do. There were other songs that he probably wanted to record. But time is fleeting. Of course, the Bible tells us that. Matthew chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, particularly verse 14, it tells us it's but a vapor. It's here for a second. It vanishes away. It is fleeting. Time is precious. And how we spend it also shows us what's important in our lives. What we use that time on is going to be an indicator of really what we love. To the idea that we spend that time on pursuing holiness, I think, is a good one for us as Christians. There are a lot of things that we can do in this life. Like we said, there are distractions. There are all kinds of things that we could be doing to make the purpose in our hearts to spend that time to pursue holiness, I think, is a noble thing and something that we ought to purposely aspire to do every day. How am I going to spend my time? The next phrase is to be. Holiness isn't just doing different things. Holiness is a defining attribute of our lives. The world can have moments where it shows kindness and love and patience, but Christians are to be kind. We are to be loving and we are to be patient. Those principles should govern what we do from the big moments of life to the small ones. From the times people are looking and the times that they're not looking. It's not that we do the things that we do so that we might be holy. It is that we are holy so we do those things which God wants us to do. This may not be a shock to a lot of people looking at me, but I played football in high school. And in my locker, I had a quote that was given to me, and I put it up there. It was by Vince Lombardi. Some of you probably are familiar with it. So winning is not a sometimes thing. It's an all-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Winning is a habit, but so is holiness. Holiness is something that should be constant in our lives. It should be something that's not defined by points and moments, but it is a principle that guides us through everything. We are to be holy, not have moments where we act holy. And then, of course, holiness. I'm not going to try to impress you with a definition. I think we all understand what holiness is. One of the great examples is the utensils in the tabernacle, set aside for a particular purpose. They weren't used for those things which are common or vulgar. The same thing is true for us. We have to ask ourselves as we go through the day, are we being holy in our purpose? Are we serving God or are we serving the world? Are we serving self? How are we being used? Ask the question, am I being used in the right way? Am I doing the things that God wants me to do? But I also want to suggest to you another principle, and that is, are you being used at all? It's one thing to have a purpose. It's another thing to fulfill that purpose. And I think as Christians, we all recognize we have a purpose. The question is, are we fulfilling that purpose? A holy vessel that is holy but is set aside and not being used is pretty worthless, isn't it not? Same thing for us as Christians. We have purpose. We have expectations. We have principles that guide us if we're not using them. I mean, we're no good to God. I wonder sometimes if we don't think that maybe we have the principle of Schrodinger's faith. As long as we don't use it, it could be both dead and alive at the same time. You know, we could be both in the world and we could be in the Lord's purpose at the same time. But the truth is, if you never open the box, if you never use it, your faith is dead and your holiness is worthless to God. Holiness demands time. It demands effort. It also demands purpose and again, separation. We're not talking about occasions of holiness. We need prolonged holiness in our lives. It's going to cost us time, but it's time well spent. One of the things I like about this song is that it teaches us that real holiness produces real results in our lives. I recently started watching a show called The Good Doctor. I don't know if any of y'all have seen it. Yeah, it's a pretty good show. It's one of those medical dramas. It's about a young man who's on the autistic scale, and he's a surgeon. I'm not going to bore you with it all, but I got to watching it, and one day I'm looking around on YouTube, and YouTube knows what you're watching on Facebook, and Facebook knows what you're watching on YouTube, and so they pop up suggestions for you and all that kind of thing. And I get this suggestion, and it's a video about a guy who's an actual doctor, and he is criticizing or critiquing these medical dramas as he's watching different episodes. And so, of course, I see The Good Doctor. I want to see what a real doctor says about this show. Is it accurate? Is it, you know? And he goes through all those things, and he talks about the medical procedures, what they got right, what they got wrong, and all that, how accurate it was. One of the scenes, right at the end, it's from the first episode. It's the young man walking into the OR for the first time. And I remember it because the actual doctor was watching this scene, and it's this real close-up of his face, and the whole time he's walking into the OR, the real doctor's going, put your mask on, put your mask on, put your mask on, as he's walking into this OR. And I tell you that story for this purpose. Doctors go through a painstaking process of cleaning their ORs, of making sure that it's free from contamination. It has to be clean before they can work. And it's not to say they can't. I know people in the medical field are amazing. Army doctors, paramedics, they work in less than ideal conditions. But to do the really complex things, to do the really big things, they like pristine environments. They like things that are clean. And I'm going to suggest to you that God operates on the same principle. It's not to say that he can't use those who are flawed. Certainly he used Pharaoh. He used Nebuchadnezzar. He used Cyrus to do his will. There are people in Jesus' lineage that made bad choices in their lives. There was certainly an argument can be made that Peter and Paul were not perfect. But I think God prefers to work in an environment that is free from contamination. I think he prefers to work with lives that are free from the contamination of sin. And imagine the things that he can do. Imagine the work that he could accomplish if we could provide that to him. And the way that we do that is by taking time to be holy every day in our lives. And then I thought, you know, how am I going to wrap this up? Because I remember Mike Vestal one year, he had the don't blow your putt. And I know Mike's speaking today, I thought, well, maybe he's in the room. And if I blow my putt when Mike's in the room, that's going to be bad. So I'm going to try not to blow my putt here as we wrap up. In a way, we've separated ourselves for a moment. One of the beautiful things about Focal Point is I'm in a room full of Christians who are going to encourage me. I'm going to listen to men who are going to preach the gospel and teach God's word to me. And that's going to help to equip me and strengthen me and motivate me. And man, what a moment in being separate from the world that we have here. What a blessing. We ought to take the time to appreciate it to the point to where we use it. What a wasted week this would be if we were just here going through the motions and we went back home and we really gained nothing from it. When we have this great treasure that's going to be presented to us this week, man, what a great opportunity we have. So let's take the time this week to do just that, to appreciate those who are working for us, to appreciate those who are providing this, and to enjoy this being separate for a moment so that we can go out into the world and show them what holiness looks like in everyday lives, what it truly means to be separate from the world. You know, when we're holy, we'll spend time with God's Word. When we're holy, we will appreciate those of like and precious faith. When we're holy, we'll help those in need. And when we're holy, one of the great things I like about the song is that others can see God in us. What a great opportunity we have this morning. What a great opportunity we have this week to let that glory, to let God's image shine brighter in us because of this great work that Wayne and the people here have put on. So I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited just to be here, and I appreciate your time. Thanks.